Hey, beautiful. I want to ask you to share this podcast with the woman you know and help us change the way women attract partners and court for commitment. I'm a huge believer that when we change one woman and elevate her relationships, we change society and we also change family trees. And you can help with this simply by sharing the podcast. Thanks for being a part of the Courtship Code community and thanks for sharing this episode. Hey, I'm Zara J, relationship coach, author, and creator of the Passion Attraction Prototypes. And on this podcast, I teach high-achieving women like you how to break relationship patterns and create a match game plan so you can quickly identify and attract a compatible partner for commitment in less time using my six-step formula, the Captivating Courtship Code. Every week, I bring you lessons, reflections, and love-changing tips that have been proven to help my clients meet their partners and transform their love lives quickly. You're getting the inside scoop from my years of owning a matchmaking service and as an expert relationship coach that will take you from a wounded princess to a captivating queen of courtship. So, if you're ready to ditch trying to get him to commit, which are just anxiety-creating relationship tactics, and instead learn authentic yet intentional, proven relationship attraction techniques so you can finally have the partnership you desire, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Courtship Code Podcast. Hey, everyone. So we're here right now sitting with a former CCC student and someone that I think is just a ball of sunshine. I love talking to Miss Cecily. So thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and just sharing your story. Absolutely. Yeah, I think we have some good things to talk about and share. One thing that I really loved about you in the program was you really were receptive of just like taking it all in. I know that you naturally, just because of the work that you do and the business that you're in, you're very into like personal growth and personal development and just going through those shifts and those changes. But sometimes when you're always on the teaching side, it can be hard to be on the receiving side, but you're such a good receiver and you're really good at implementing as well. I think during your time of being in coaching, I think you probably had some of the most action and dates and just getting out there while you were in the program. So I love seeing that progress and how you were able to turn that around very quickly. So I just wanted to dive in and share a little bit about you, your story, and hopefully, you know, other women that are in your shoes and experiences that like yours can learn a lot from you. So really quickly, tell everyone who you are, where you're from, just a little bit what you do, just a little bit about you.
Yes. So hello, and Zara, thank you so much for this opportunity to just share. I'm Cecily Mariah. I am an identity and style coach, speaker, fashion educator, as I like to call myself. Oh my God, a journey. This is what this has been. It's so crazy because to your point of being on the receiving end of coaching, especially in relationship and personal development, the decision-making process, mm-hmm. it's just like, am I going to commit to this thing or am I not? And emotionally, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. And I think being in CCC allowed me to see myself in like duality and not one way.
Yeah.
So it helped me not just in relationships with men, but it also helped me in the relationship with myself. Mm. And that to me was the biggest thing. So
Let's go back because when I first met you, I met you actually asking you to do a style coaching session in the program. You were referred to me by someone, another stylist and coach that I know. So that's actually how we first crossed paths. So it actually was really exciting for me. And I thought it was also very vulnerable of you to allow yourself to come into the program and to be supported because this was a space that you came in to do some coaching and teaching, right, but then also For so many women who are entrepreneurs or go-getters or ambitious, they have so many walls up on just wanting to look like they have it all together. Right, like they have it all together, they have all the answers, they have a very difficult time with being vulnerable and being fully seen and heard. So one, for you to come to me and say, hey, you know, I want to work with you, I want to join. And then two, allow yourself to really be immersed in the program. I mean, posting in the community, showing up to calls, really allowing yourself to be seen and heard and practice that vulnerability and just releasing any shame or guilt around the identity that you already had about who you are and how you're supposed to be. So I just really want to commend you on that. But tell me a little bit about like how you got to that place of overcoming. If were there any blocks about like joining or like, should I do this or being seen?
It was a year and some later after. Mm-hmm. That's how long it took me to actually make the decision, because from separation, divorce, motherhood, the identity that I had built online, there were so many things and belief. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if we have time for that.
Oh, we have time for belief, because belief is a major block that so many people hold themselves back just because they're not choosing to believe in themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you use the word allowing, and allowing has now become part of my vocabulary. Mm. And that was something that I had to learn to do. So I allowed myself to be vulnerable. I allowed myself to be uncomfortable and to share, especially being a person who had become more private, mm-hmm. especially in just the way my life was kind of unfolding. I was like, I want my personal life to be mine, and I'll show up externally and networking and in business one way. But in all honesty, I was crashing and burning in my personal life. Mm-hmm. And I will listen to your podcast, and I'm like, oh God, it's getting me all the way together. And so listening to the podcast, every now and then you would do like a live, and I don't remember what happened, but something came up, it's probably another podcast. And I was like, I think it's time. I just think it's time. And when I took the initial assessment, I had like so many red flags, and everything had to do learning that I was the trophy pattern, mm-hmm. and everything to do with just like people pleasing and just thinking that you have to be a chameleon and thinking, mm-hmm. believing that you have to be everything that you are not.
Yeah.
And for me, the having a community of women who were also ambitious, who were also beautiful, who were also business owners, women that you wouldn't even think should have these issues, are really out here living almost like two separate people.
I love
because
that.
Because you're showing up and it's like, when do I get the opportunity to heal this part of me, to grow this part of me? Because this isn't therapy. It's not therapy, but the coaching and the way that you coach and the way that you never tell us what to do. You're such a great guide in the decision-making process and being honest with ourselves. Mm. I think so much we don't get the opportunity to be completely honest with ourselves because of back to the identity piece, back to being who we were created to be through the lenses and eyes of the people around us, mm-hmm. our coaches, our mentors, and then dismantling that.
Yeah. I want to pause you for a second. I want to pause you for a second before we go too far deep, because I know that this is something that you're passionate about. No, it's good, deep in a good way, but I want to make sure that we touch on some things that you mentioned. First, I want to go back to the chameleon. Being a chameleon, living two different lives, or basically having two different identities. You have like the work you, the you on the outside, it's just the shell of you, and then the you of how you're feeling internally. And we talk about being a chameleon in the program and adapting to who you think you need to be in order to be loved, especially when it comes to men, or it could be your family relationships as well. But I remember early in the coaching process, and let me just say this too, for anyone that's listening to this, Cecily decided to join while she was in the process of relocating, while she was still getting set up with her new job, while she was still moving parts of her life. And it was a little bit of chaos in the beginning, right? But you did it while you're still figuring out. And I think that it was great that you made that decision to commit in the midst of that chaos and still go through with it and not say in the future, like you still did it anyway. And it took you probably like that first month or so. I felt like we were kind of scrambling, like, girl, what's going on? Let's get it together. But eventually you showed up, you went all in, babies in the background and all, and you did a great job just being really coachable. But back to the chameleon piece, I remember in the beginning, this was something that you really struggled with the most. I feel like that was one of the things, was shifting how you identified within yourself, how you felt you needed to show up for others, always like in the doing, learning how to be better in receiving, really getting clear on the value that you bring, like who you are and the value, which is like crazy to me on the coaching. Because I'm like, are you, you're beautiful, you're ambitious, you're like holding it down, you're doing your mom thing, like you have so much good going for you, but you placed your value in what you do for others. And I know as an entrepreneur, and you know, you're a coach, you're a stylist, because so much of your identity is wrapped around producing and doing and helping others, it's so easy, one, to put yourself last. And then it's also easy to forget about the value that you bring outside of that. So even when you show up with men and in relationships, it's like, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I be this perfect, you know? And it's not even authentically who you are. Some of it is still you, because you're maybe naturally a giver and naturally a kind woman and soft-hearted, and you want to really be a support, but that's not all the value, and you don't have to do that in order to prove. So let's just kind of unpack that a little bit, because I know that that was something that we had to do a lot of work on.
That was work. That was work. I spent months, and I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, it's been great since, but an ongoing lesson.
Right.
Because once I accepted, I think that was the biggest thing for me, was accepting the fact that I had placed myself in this role and character of, I have to be the one who does it all. And then dismantle that, because I was like, I really don't even want to be doing it. And not in a bad way, because to your point, naturally I am a giver. Naturally I am, I'm a woman of just service. I love to love and give and do. But I was doing in a way that was not good for me and good for any of my relationships, in friendships as well. And to say to myself several times over, it's like, understand, well, one, understanding feminine energy, understanding that. So getting a grasp of like, okay, how do I tap into that part of me? And how do I now lean in without doing? And those were not my words, those were like your words. And I was like, what does that look like for me to be authentically who I am? Well, instead of always making all the plans and leading, I started saying, okay, well, here's my availability. And I would wait. If a couple of days, if it's like, if it looks like it's not going to be something, I'll probably like mention, like, hey, but never like, it never went back into, and I'm proud of this because it has not gone, it's not going back into like the, let me create the situation or let me create the scenario so that I can lead it and it can go as planned and we can stick to whatever I've written down. Like, letting go of that has helped me so much, because I do get to just be myself.
Yeah.
And putting in place, like, if I say a time and somebody doesn't show up or do the thing, I still commit myself to that time.
Right.
And that was non-existent. It was like, who does that? Or, you know, go back into like this sorrow or mm-hmm. just like my feelings are hurt or woe is me or those low thinkings of nobody, who's going to want me? Nobody wants me. Like that, to really come out of that. Sometimes I go back and I read my journal entries and I'm like, I was really thinking.
Yeah.
I believe that I was not worthy. I believe that I didn't have value outside of the things that I could do or produce for people or how I could show up and make their lives better. I thought if I didn't do these things, then I wasn't worthy of who they are. Yeah. And to be honest, most of the time, they weren't great people anyway.
Right. You were better than them anyway. Right. I mean, that's the reality. And I think that when you start doing the work and you start going through these mindset shifts, one, and I had this conversation with someone else in CCC recently, that you will become almost sad or grieve the old you because you'll realize like, wow, I was really an emotional wreck. My mindset wasn't in a good place. I settled so much. I tolerated so much. I struggled so much with boundaries. I didn't respect myself. I didn't love myself so much in this process and then manifesting a lot of those experiences as a result. So that's like really, really common, especially in the first couple of months. But one thing I do want to fast forward to, when you started... Because I feel like once you started to go all in, you really went all in. Getting out there, meeting people, meeting men. So once you started to change, how did your experiences with the men you were meeting change?
Wow. Well, one thing, the first thing that I had to do was the judgment. Mm. I really had to get past the judgment of, you know, oh my God, I can't believe he said this, or why does he look like he dresses like that? Like all of this, just the stuff that means nothing, and really getting to know the person, because I wanted someone to want to get to know me too. Mm-hmm. And that to me was kind of like where I anchored myself. And the vetting process became easier. And it didn't feel like I didn't go back into this thought of he doesn't want me or I'm not good enough.
Right.
It was like, I am deserving of someone who desires my attention and my presence and all of that very naturally, because that's who I am. So when it came to you talked about authenticity, it was so many things. So I'm trying to like group it into one like compact answer. It became easier. Dating is not hard unless we make it difficult. Mm-hmm. And we can. And a lot of times, if you have low-level thinking, inconsistent mindset, like, that's what's making it difficult. And so when I started saying, okay, these are the core values. These are the baseline things. Not saying that person had to check every single box, but saying like there was just some things that I knew the old version of me would have accepted and settled. But who I am authentically, that's not something that I wanted. But also being open to learning and experiencing another person.
Yeah.
I think there was so much power in, instead of saying know so much based off of one conversation, it was like, well, let me have another conversation, allow him to talk to me as much as my schedule will allow with boundaries.
Okay.
Like that was work to do. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of work for me personally. But then it was like, before I knew it, I had like dated two guys to the 90-day mark. Because when you had, matter of fact, I didn't even realize it until like we had to like journal and see.
Yeah.
When I was like, oh, okay, so you got this.
And that was pretty quickly, because that was just in like 6 months. Like
6 months.
Yeah.
In 6 months. And I had well over 100 conversations.
Wow.
Well over. giving myself the opportunity to just look at it as a conversation.
Yeah.
Taking the, is he the one? Is this my husband? Is really taking all of that away made it easier. It was so much easier for me to connect with the person.
Yeah.
I'm friends now with one of the guys that had I met him like a year before, I would have been like, we need to be in a relationship. We need to be together. And, you know, but now I'm like, wow, we are really great friends. We wouldn't have worked well in a relationship, but the friendship is so good and so authentic. And he's somebody who now at this point in life, I'm like, wow, like being able to learn from him, him learning from me, it's good. But had I not just settled myself into this is two humans connecting, and not like, where are we going to be in the future?
Right.
What are your future plans? Like that,
right?
Like really stripping that away has helped me so much. I hope that, I hope
yeah, no, I love that. So I have a question. Had you not joined the program, right, and just done some of just like just listening to the podcast and everything else, I wonder if just hearing set boundaries, treat like a conversation, any of those things, if you're like shaking your head no, I'm wondering if in just hearing those things, would that have been enough versus learning how to like embody those things?
No. I call myself a student of life. I'm a learner. I love to learn. I also love to implement strategies that have worked. And so I can read a book and absorb it and apply knowledge to a certain extent.
Right.
Unless you have an actual strategy in place, you put new behaviors in place, you have something in front of you that supports the direction that you're going in, longevity in changing is probably not going to be there. And so as much as I love your podcast, even to this day, it did not give me the same tools as being in the community, as going through the program, as actually doing the work and doing the work while being coachable.
Mm-hmm. I love that you added that part on there, because definitely, I always say it's two parts, right? You have the mindset part and then you have the action. Some people get caught, I'm just going to take a bunch of action, but they're not shifting how they're thinking and managing their emotions in that process. And then you have some that they just get so grounded in their mindset and their emotions and just only focus on that, but they don't take enough action. So it's really finding balance in both. And that's one of the hard things, because let's say with therapy, it's a lot of emotional work and mindset work, but not necessarily the actions to back it. And then with like reading or some other information, you may get the information, but the inner work isn't necessarily applied. So I think that coaching is really helpful in that, to give you the balance of both. Now I'm curious, and this has been on my mind as I've been listening, and I feel like I kind of know a little bit of the answer to this because I've just been observing you, but how has doing this work trickled over to your business, to how you show up in those relationships, even to finances? Like, because I know that when you start working on your self-worth and you elevate in one area, it overpours. And as I have been observing you in the program, because I know that when you first came back in coaching, you were really getting into a space of just reconnecting, getting back out there with your business, because you took a little bit of a break. And then it's like, I'm noticing, like, as you're doing the work, like, you're showing up more, you're doing more, like, you're stepping into just a bigger, brighter version of you. And I started, like, okay, I'm seeing the correlation between how she's growing as a woman and how the content she's putting out, how she's showing up with her clients. I can see how she's pouring into her clients. And so I want to talk about that. But then I also want to talk about how when there's a gap in how you're feeling internally and still having to show up other people, how difficult that can be as well. Because there's a challenge in that. And a lot of people aren't aware about that because maybe they don't have a business or they're not in a service-based business, where we talked about in the beginning that living, having two identities and being strong on the outside while still being weak on the inside, it affects everything and how you show up in the workplace or in your business or finances as well. So I just want to kind of dive into that, because I know that that's something that I'm watching from the outside, just knowing like she's growing.
The process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna go back to when I left Atlanta and came back. Okay. I left Atlanta just to get my mind right, went to Mississippi. I think that's when I initially reached out to you. And then everything changed in my life in like 90 days of being gone and just saying, God, I want better. I want more. But still feeling like who I used to be, and I wasn't sure how to show up, right? So serving from an empty space was something that I lived in that space for probably 6 to 8 months. And it was hard. I'm not even gonna lie, because I would have clients who would come back to me and they'll be so happy and we'll do a coaching call and they'll look great for a photo shoot or for speaking or travel or just whatever. And I'm genuinely excited for my client. But then I would get off the call and go lay in my bed under the cover and cry or scroll on social media and go into this season of comparison as to why am I not where she is or they are? Why don't people see me? It was a struggle.
Yeah.
For real. And coming into your program in that dual space in my life where I felt that I knew I wanted my business to go in a different way. I knew I wanted my personal life to be in a different way. I was just, honestly, if I could say this, I was tired of me.
Mm-hmm. And I always feel like you have to get to that point of you have to get tired of you in order to really make a change.
And that's, I think when you said, you know, once I got it, I just kind of hit the ground running with the taking it in. I was so desperate to show up as myself truly. I no longer wanted to kind of keep myself in this box that I had placed for safety that was now suffocating me.
That's really deep right there.
It was a lot. It was a whole lot. So when it came to authenticity and value and worth as an entrepreneur in the space of image,
right,
I felt like a hypocrite because there's two things. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. Can I say that? I don't know if that's politically correct or not, but I'm a nerd. I love neuroscience, psychology. Those are the things that make my heart just burst with joy. The other side of that is that I have always had a passion for fashion. This has been my life, everything. And where I live is in the middle of both those worlds. I can help women break free of the identity crisis, which was crazy because it was the same thing I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
While in the midst of me going through my own identity crisis, I created an entire curriculum based from mindset and habits and beliefs all the way down to authentic style. And I'm sitting here like, I have something people want. I have something women need. But how in the world do I pour into her when I can't pour into myself?
Mm-hmm.
How in the world can I help her as I'm helping people, as I'm doing that? And it drove me crazy. And so one day I was just like, Cecily, you just do it. Because in all honesty, you've been doing the work all along, but have you been acknowledging your progress? Mm-hmm. Have you been acknowledging the fact that you are, matter of fact, it was a phone call I had with you and you were like, you're a woman who invests in yourself. You weren't talking directly to me, but those words were for me. And I was like, oh my God, I am. And I said, and I probably have the paper around here somewhere, but I went back to 2016, 2017 when I started my entrepreneurship journey. And it was every single year I had invested in something to make me better, to make me more. And beyond my degrees, and whatever other certifications, I was like, I do pour into me so that I can pour into others and do it in a great way. The other part of that was now I was trying to look like other people so that I would be more, what is it, like
likeable, so digestible.
Yeah, the more digestible so people could be. And I'm like, but I'm not. I'm a disruptor. And that's okay. I don't, even in image, you don't come to my, you don't come to my website, you don't go to my Instagram, you don't see a whole, you don't even see me getting dressed, you don't see clothes. That's just not, but there are women who come to me, if not daily or weekly, who needs what it is that I have. And so going through the program, when it came to worth and value and the things that I do naturally,
yeah,
that I did not have to do twists and turns and put on a show, I was able to speak more naturally, create more naturally, connect more naturally. Didn't feel like, oh yes, by the way, I also do this.
Right.
It that like all of that just came down. So in the last like 8 months, as I've even revamped my program, as I revamped my membership, I don't know how, like I feel much more connected in ways that in the last 6 years I have not. And how this has helped in my, and because of my awareness, I'm more aware of my finances. Yeah. I'm more aware of the people that, like, first off, I will say this. I didn't know how much money I was making just in my life in general because of things that were out of order in other places. And when I got to a point where I was able to sit down with Cecily for real and say, this is where you are. This is where you want to be. How are you going to get there? And applying the principles and practices that I learned in your community in the program, when I say has allowed me to create a new foundation, when you said, what is the, your, our like love vision, vision of love, our relationships, I ended up having to like rewrite an entire vision of my life. What did I want her to look like? How am I going to show up? Since then, I've lost 30 pounds.
Yes, 30
my
pounds.
My money is flowing.
I love it.
My mind is different. I show up differently. Dating, even though I'm not dating as many people as I was dating during the program, like having, I now have a person who is really interested, and yes, it's long distance.
Okay. I didn't say anything. Even,
but even having him as part of my life has been so just refreshing.
Yeah.
And it makes me, it just makes me think of myself differently, but not because of him, because of the work that I have done to get here.
But I'm sure that even with that, your ability to receive whatever good he's bringing, I'm pretty sure, and I don't even know the details of this. Is this a situation I'm familiar with already?
Yes.
Okay. I already know. So I would assume that one, as you have been healing and doing the work on yourself, working on your self-worth, your ability, one, to receive the good from him, number one. Two, that communication standard. Like, and we can talk about this too. As you work on yourself, as you do the inner work, the things that you learn, the coaching you receive, your standard and that expectation naturally and authentically increases. And I like to say authentically increases because women can have these standards or these expectations that they don't even fully believe in themselves. And it's not natural and authentic to who they are. They're just adapting or adopting what someone else, what they've seen on social media or what someone else has said, but it's not really for them. But as you do the work on yourself, your bar naturally raises. The quality of relationship, the quality of guys naturally raises. what you want, what you don't want. You know how I say you want the ones that aren't right to move themselves out the way. And it becomes right. easier for that to happen.
It does. Yeah. And it has. I know I shared with you. I know that you knew about the chef.
Yeah.
The chef that was here in Atlanta. That was a
and the guy in Texas.
Huh?
The guy in Texas.
And the guy in Texas. So the guy in Texas I met after the chef. It was like,
yeah, I remember. The chef.
So it was an overlap. And what was so interesting when I met the guy in Texas was that he spoke like the type of person I wanted to have conversations with.
Mm.
And it was crazy. It was so crazy because honestly, I don't think I would have recognized it in real time had I not put in the real work in myself. I think I would have thought at one point, oh, he's doing too much.
Hmm.
Or I would have just started thinking like, it's too much for me right now emotionally. I can't receive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But being able to take a pause, take every conversation just as they came, breathe through, not go into this thinking of, well, where this is going to be in 6 months, where this is going
to
be in a year.
Trying to control the process.
Just really taking it in. And I can't say how grateful I am enough that that was one of just like what I call like a pillar of being able to take a moment and take it as it comes. And at the same time, not only am I learning how I'm responding to this person or receiving, but how they're responding and receiving me as well. Truly who I am.
Right.
Because now at this point, I have all these tools. I have all the resources. I've been doing this now for months. If I didn't see real change and progress, that's a me thing.
Right.
So being able to meet him and it being long distance, when I first came into the program, I was like, I could not do long distance. I need somebody in a 20-hour. There were so many things that I had in my head of what these are the things that's going to work for me. By the time I finished the program, the fact that having a long distance relationship, having the type of connection, the type of maturity, the fact that he comes to Atlanta, I'm planning to go to Texas. He's accepting of, I'll say this, I was going to not bring it up, but like, I'm a mom of three.
No, I think it's great that you bring this up because that was one of the blocks, right? When you came into coaching, it was, I'm a divorcee. I'm a mom of three boys. young boys. They're all under 10.
Yes.
And so that was one of the blocks. And that's a block for so many women who are mothers or divorcees. The idea, whether it's you're just a divorcee or you're a divorcee with kids, or maybe never been married, but you just have kids. Those are some major blocks for so many women that makes them feel undesirable, unlovable. You know, who's going to want me?
All of those things.
A certain caliber of person's not going to want me. All of those things. On top of, there's so much messaging out there in the internet streets about who's worthy, who's deserving, what you can, what you can't have. That for so many people, that's why I always tell people, get rid of that noise, because if you want change, you cannot take that type of messaging in. What you take in, the messaging that you take in has so much to do with how you're programming to think about yourself and to feel about yourself. So I think it is important that you bring up the fact that you are a mom of three young boys, and what it's like getting out there and meeting men and still feeling valued in that process.
So two things. One, yes, the amount of noise around women with children, the stigma around being a Black woman with children, there's so much. And to your point, like, just turn it off. Just turn it off because it doesn't ring. It's just not true.
Mm.
And I had to start seeing myself as that. I am a successful woman who has children.
I know, that's right.
And finding value, and you helped me with this as well, finding value that I was a wife. Mm-hmm. So now when it's time for me to be a wife again, I have so much more to offer because I'm coming from a place and a space of I've been there. Mm-hmm. I've grown from that. Mm-hmm. I'm proud, even though it did not go how I wanted to go, but I am proud of the fact that I can take my lessons learned and my next marriage will be my marriage.
I know. Clap, 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 clap. Exactly. Because now you're going to do it with experience. And that's exactly. A blessing, and that's a value and a blessing to the next man. Because he gets a woman who is experienced, who has learned. And it's nothing wrong if you're not experienced, but Understanding that that doesn't have to make you deficient, can actually make you really efficient at the job. So
that was probably, I had a list around here. My kids were in here earlier today, this morning. So I had a list of like the things that I was like, these are the things that really changed my life when I was able to accept them mm-hmm. as my belief. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I stand on. There is nothing beyond these thoughts that belong to me anymore. So when it came to online dating, which at first I was just like, I don't want to meet people in person. Let's just get on the app because it's easier for me. And you're seeing the profiles and they're like handsome men, educated men. And they're like, I don't date women with children. Mm-hmm. Or if you have more than one child, you know, there's all these things. And I'm like, okay, well, that person just isn't for me. But getting there, getting to that point of being okay with the, because I shared this in the community. I was like, sometimes I'll be attracted to somebody, but then I'll read their profile or I'll find something or see something. And I'm like, oh, that's not me. Mm-hmm. And then I go into like this cycle of rejection from a person that doesn't even know I exist. And it's like, stop doing that. So going through that, if that's what it says, if anything on a profile probably didn't align with just me, who I am naturally, or things that I value, I don't have to go down that path. And the fact that I have that choice, right, instead of ended up in a relationship with somebody who I find these things out later, I actually start to see it as like, this is a great tool, it's a great resource. As for dating with children, giving myself grace that everything is not gonna always go as planned, but also say giving myself like the boundaries and saying like, there was this one guy I dated for a little while and I was so grateful that he was very just aware and okay. So being able to date him for the time period, it was good to experience what it was like to have someone who was just understanding. Mm-hmm. Not that I was canceling all the time or anything crazy. It was none of that. But it's like, at 3:30, my kids are yelling in the background. So if you're going to call me, like, just being mindful of that and not waiting till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night to have a conversation because the house is quiet. Like, that, to me, was so good to experience. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that experience. So dating with children isn't going to always be the rom-com situations where you're going to have a babysitter who's going to be there and you get to get dressed up cute and all this stuff. One day I had to change clothes and I was 45 minutes late. Like, it was a whole thing. And he didn't necessarily receive it well. He didn't necessarily understand. I didn't let that like dampen my night. I had a great time. He texted me that night, never saw him again. It was okay. It was okay. But also understanding like my kids are part of my life. I am also an active participant in my life. What kind of relationship I want? What kind of person do I want? My kids haven't met anybody that I've dated in this almost year. And I'm okay with that because I believe that as I'm allowing and letting the man lead in his capacity of leading, that's going to come naturally.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to write it down and say, well, if he doesn't meet them by this time, then it's just like, I don't have to do those things. Are there parameters around it? Yes, it definitely for me, because that's where my value lies. But other than that, it's not as hard as it's perceived to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think just having your boundaries, having your standards, understanding what's your yes and what's your no goes a long way when it comes to dating with children.
Yeah.
And I used to wait till like the first phone call to be like, oh, I have kids. Like, I can't believe I was doing that. And then when I got better with like my bio, like I started with the fact that I was a mom, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm a mom. Don't come over here.
Warning.
It wasn't like that at all. And then you will find that there's so many men who don't care.
Right.
They're like,
and it
okay.
sounds like the long distance guy that you're seeing, it sounds like he's one of those guys.
He's definitely one of those guys. He just is. And what's so crazy is, truly because of your program, I wouldn't have never even had a conversation with him.
Mm.
Ever. Based on my list and the way that I was thinking and how it feels, oh goodness, that it's so funny to me now to think, and I laugh at him all the time. I'm like, this would have never happened. And we can laugh and joke about it, but to be able to now have something with someone who wants to get to know me, to understand me, that we're able to pour into each other, it's refreshing.
And you're like, you're smiling. You guys refreshing. Who are listening, this is just the audio, but we're on Zoom right now, so I can see her face. And she just like stopped and paused, looked into the air with her eyes up and just big smile on her face. And big cheese.
He's so nice. He's so kind. And that's another thing. Dating just my race.
Mm.
Has been like letting that go. I haven't been in anything longer than 90 days with anybody outside of my race, as far as like, he's African.
Okay.
He's like,
still the same
from
race.
But
different
like,
cultures, I understand.
Yes. Yeah, like cultures. The culture,
yeah.
It's so different. But I enjoy learning. And I think that's what gives like our dynamic such like a cool dynamic, because I am this, in the grand scheme of things, I'm this girl from, you know, South Mississippi. I grew up on the beach, like crawfish festivals and parades. Like that's what I think. And then, you know, he's able to just share with me just culturally things different. And it's just good. It's just...
So sweet.
It's just really good. And so being open to experiencing someone who isn't like me fully.
Yeah.
Because at one point I thought like, only a Black man. Though there's nothing wrong with that either, opening myself up to now, like, I've had a chance to have a virtual date with an Indian man. And that was so just, it was nice just hearing about the culture, hearing about different things, seeing a man from a different background who was open to Black women, because I think that's another part of it too. Like, other men are not going to be attracted to you because of whatever other stigmas. It's so many crazy things that are said and that goes through the airways to make you believe something. And then once you're in it, you're like, wow, there's so many possibilities.
And like you said, just expanding when it comes to like cultures and ethnicities and just really allowing yourself to be open and to be curious. And to receive it, and to dismantle some of the beliefs that you have about yourself, about others, about the process, and just learning to do things differently. So I'm really proud of you. You're just glowing and growing. And before we wrap this up, was there anything else that you wanted to share? Any advice that you would give to someone, whether they're thinking about joining coaching or just some advice that maybe just a woman out there, that a woman like you needs to hear? Speak to the woman that you were before coaching. Like, what was something that she needed to hear?
Oh, wow. Wow. Choosing you is always the best decision. Mm. Choosing you is just, it's the best decision. Mm. Understanding your values. Until I went through the program, my values were all over the place because they were given to me. Mm. They were given to me. And I was never fully ever, I think I shared this with you. I was like, I think this is the first time I felt like I had full permission to be myself. Mm-hmm. In my 30s, mm-hmm. with children, full permission to be myself. So I would say, one, just invest in the coaching program, because it honestly, of all my certifications that I've done, all the other coaching programs that I've done, this has been the best investment for me. And I tell you, can ask anybody.
That makes my heart warm.
This has been the best investment for me. Because when I came in here, my mindset was, and I told you this, she's going to make me a better wife. That's what it was. But you made me better for me first, so that I can be better for whoever comes along. But being the best version of myself for me, feeling great for me, that has changed my life.
Hello. You're going to make me cry.
Don't cry. I know I am. It's changed my life. It has honestly changed my life. And when I think about the previous version of me, the girl who lived in these two worlds, who felt like I couldn't be fully me because people are not going to understand. As I will say this too. I am an Enneagram type 2 wing 3, Pisces on the zodiac. I am an ambivert. I am on the disc. I'm a SD. Like my personality and who I am and the way my brain works, I'm typically in the lower, there's not that many of me.
I understand. I'm an INTP, so that's a very small percentage.
ENFJ, so I get it. It's one of those things. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I spent so much of my life explaining who I was instead of just being myself. And this program, thoroughly, through and through, and the fact that people who know me for years can see where the changes, see my growth. When my parents say that I'm glowing and they're proud of me and I'm doing, like, that was something really big for me. And my close friends are just like, I'm so proud of you and the work that you've done. And when I can look in the mirror and I am genuinely proud of myself, and I look forward to everything that's to come.
Yeah.
Because it's all working well for me. Everything's working out. Everything's working out. So that's it. Choose you, girl. Choose you and the coach program.
I love that. It just reminded me of, I think it was yesterday, I saw a clip of a Oprah interview with Oprah and his Keinta Brown. And Oprah asked her, I don't even remember what the question was, but Keinta, she said, she would tell women to ask themselves, do you like you? When it's just you laying in your bed by yourself, I like to say it's the conversations that you're having when it's just you and your bathroom towel and your bathroom mirror alone. What are those conversations that you're having with yourself about you? But she said something very similar about just like when it's just you in bed by yourself, like alone, do you like you? Like, how do you feel about you? Are you proud of you? And if you don't like that person, change her. And I love that. And everything you just said just spoke to that.
I love it. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I don't take it lightly. But I don't think any of the women in the community takes it lightly.
Yeah.
Either. Because it's life changing. It's so, yes, it's dating and relationships, but it's so much more. It's just so much more. And I think that's and there's so much change, and it just being the more. It's so much change. And it's just, and you challenge us in a way that is realistic.
Sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It really is. I can attest to that, but necessary.
Yeah.
And when we get to a place where we can get out of our heads and really, you know, we see it all over, I'll say this, but we see it all over social media, you know, the future her, mm-hmm. you 10 years from now, you hear that, but what is she, what does that really mean?
Right.
Committing to decisions now for later.
Mm-hmm.
But those decisions have got to be based on things that are solid,
mm-hmm.
are really solid. And you and the CCC helped me strip down every single low-level belief and rebuild a foundation that I could actually see her 10 years from now.
Really quickly, just in you saying that, the thought came to mind, and I think this would be helpful for those who are listening as well, because I know for many, and I'm not sure if this is your experience as well, but for most who join the program, it's their first time actually being in a community of women, like a real community of women, and being a part of community and getting comfortable with being vulnerable and sharing. But I also am curious for you to share your experience with being on the receiving end of just being in the community, like in the Facebook community or on the coaching calls, and hearing other women's stories, and women from all walks of life, different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different faiths, but hearing their experiences. And how transformational was that for you? Because I always say, you learn so much in the program because you get like the behind the scenes of what's going on with other people. So you may not even know that you're struggling with something or something is coming up for you. And then you hear it through someone else. And then you're like, oh, wait, I just got coached through this other person. And yes. There's so much growth in learning from other women's experiences in real time.
So much growth. I will say, I'm a firm believer in that our lives are not our own.
Mm.
I think the community, like everything we go through is meant to be shared with somebody else. And inside the community, it was so beautiful to me to see so many women sharing, like the amount of sharing, the how they were sharing, whether it was through some uncomfortable situation or how to talk through a conversation or text messages or just anything, and being able to see yourself also,
mm-hmm.
and say, wow, I do that. Mm-hmm. Let me try what they've tried and grow from it. Another thing, just like the amount of vulnerability, especially on the calls, when you can tell if somebody's emotional about it, if you can tell that somebody is really excited over a milestone that they just hit, it really creates a different dynamic for the process.
Mm.
Because it's not just, I love the workbooks, love doing the work, but it's so different when you're seeing like, oh, I was in module 5, or I got to this point and this is where I am. The online dating or the meeting in person, and their responses to how they received the information and then how they applied it. Like, that to me was like the best part. Because I do love, and I guess that's just like the nerd in me too, because how does in this community, we're all receiving the same information, but how are we taking it, computing it, applying it, mm-hmm. and what are our results from that? And how can I grow from that? So that was fun to me. But also knowing that there are other women who are degreed up, certified, beautiful, outgoing, but we're all in this community for the same reason, that makes a difference. That makes such a difference, because you could be doctor whomever, wellness coach whomever, but we're learning the same things and we're all growing together. And I just thought, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And it's safe. That was another thing. It was safe, because I know at first I was like, I am not saying, I'm not saying anything. I'll just go read or listen. And then as you open yourself up and you just have to remain open, I think that's where all the change really happens.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's beautiful. And I know for anyone, when they join the program, I always say, you know, posting the, I know it's uncomfortable at first, just being seen and being heard and being vulnerable. But when you practice posting, or you practice showing up on calls, asking questions, engaging, you get to then practice vulnerability. And right. by practicing it in a safe space and practicing it amongst other women, iron sharpens iron, it then makes it easier for you to start to practice it when you are relating to men. But here's something else that's really important too. And I would be curious, I don't know if this applies to you as much, but I know this is a thing. Many women don't realize that there's a disconnect within their own feminine energy that makes it difficult for them to be vulnerable with other women, because they fear judgment, they fear being misunderstood. There may be some competitive energy in that. So a lot of women may have a hard time building really authentic relationships with other women. And, you know, you'll hear women say, well, I get along with men better, or I can only have these types of relationships, you know, and so they don't realize that that's a disconnect in their feminine energy and their ability to give and receive that vulnerability and that feminine connection. So by being in an environment that is a safe space with other women, you get to practice vulnerability, you get to just be you and be that softer side and not have to have all the answers and not have to have it all together, and celebrate other women's success and celebrate their wins and receive their challenges, receive their difficulties, receive their pain as well. And being able to relate and bond in that space, I know it's a very unique experience that most just never get to actually experience.
Yeah. For me, well, two things. I have a lot of sisters. There are five girls growing up in a house. And so that helps me in that weird in-between space, because I felt all of that from a natural sibling standpoint. I've experienced that in relationships with friends, or previous friends, associates at work. But I think it goes back to making the choice to say, to start with, this is a safe space. I'm here to grow. You and staying grounded there, because that is a very, I guess, here a more natural thing, that the competitiveness, the comparison, the all of that, it's everywhere. Right. So it's not like, so to go into a community where it's really not, it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment. And you have to be mindful about where you are in that space as well. Are you the one putting that type of energy forth? Are you a victim of that? Are you like, and so finding yourself on that spectrum, how are you going to show up? And making a conscious decision. I'm hoping that you make the conscious decision to just accept and be and receive. Instead of thinking somebody's out to get me.
Yeah, like resisting it.
Like, yes, resistance. Exactly. Like, because I feel that that is much more of a natural.
Especially when I'm holding you to the fire.
I'm like, I wish that I could share on this because one day you were going in. We're not going in, but you were very just like.
Sometimes I have to be, and I know it's hard, and I know sometimes I'm like, she won't be back for a week. She needs a break. And that's with every, not with you necessarily, but just like, I know that that comes up sometimes when I have to coach hard. But I remember one time someone said on a call, can you just be like a little bit more gentle? And it's not that I'm not gentle. Anyone who's listening to this, I'm actually very compassionate. I try to be very understanding. But sometimes, especially for those, and I don't feel like I've had this experience with you, but for some who have this wall up where they're something that you said earlier in this episode that I wrote down was being honest with yourself. That's one of the hard things about coaching. If you're not willing to be honest with yourself, if you're not honest with yourself, you can't be honest with me. But the thing is, I can see when you're not being honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And like, we're going to take the BS radar all the way up and we're going to get to it. Because if I, as your coach, don't hold you to the fire, and I can do it in a loving way and I can do it in a compassionate way, but we have to be real with ourselves. And it's so easy to tell ourselves stories and convince ourselves to manipulate the truth to make ourselves feel good. It doesn't all, but what's good for you doesn't always feel good, and it doesn't have to feel good. But sometimes we have to get really clear, and that can be uncomfortable. But if you're willing to receive and you really want to grow and you really want to do better, you're going to take it. You're going to sit with it. You're going to cry. You're going to mourn it. I'm not going to make you cry. I don't mean it like in that type of way, but you may have to shed some tears naturally come up. And I tell you guys all the time, like, go ahead and cry. Like, you need to cry. Go cry. Like, we're here. Cry it out. Like, it's okay. You know,
I can't take how many calls. I was like, I just can't. I'm like, let me just make it. Talking to somebody else, but every word you're saying
resonates.
It's resonating with the next woman. And I can't tell you how many times that happened for me, but to your point of like, because you're so compassionate and you're giving us, this is the thing, you're not giving us like far-fetched ideas and concepts and tools and resources. That's not it. You are giving us practical things based off who we are. Mm-hmm. That changes everything. And by us taking the test, you know our patterns. By us communicating, you learn our communication styles, you see our blocks. 90% of the time, 99% of the time, you see our blocks better than and you are so great at that. So when you are, when we do have those moments where it's hard,
yeah,
it's also okay, because you're not just giving us like some crap just to insert yourself as an authority.
Right.
Like, you're not doing that. You're like, there is growth in this. There's change on the other side. We every last one of these women in this community desires commitment. Let's really be honest with ourselves. Right. We all desire, no matter how we're taking it,
right,
we desire to be committed to someone.
Right.
But we also have a lot of healing mm-hmm. to do in the process. And we need someone who understands what that looks like, what we look like mm-hmm. when we're shrinking,
mm-hmm.
when we need to hold ourselves to a new standard, when we need to hold ourselves accountable to a new standard. Like, so as you're teaching us, coaching us, leading us, guiding us, pouring into us in your no BS zone, those are the moments I feel are most transformational, right? Because it's like, look, this is what it is. I'm just gonna be like, it's just what, and I appreciate, and you flow through that so effortlessly. And so it's never like, oh my gosh, she just went off on me. I'm never coming back. It's never that. You know, it's never ever that at all. But for any woman who is enrolling in the program and is ready to see her life actually change, and she is ready to commit to the decision of submitting herself to the process, no matter how long the process takes, being committed to that, that woman is going to be able to hear you and receive you and do the work. And I can say that confidently, because here I am months out of the program, still applying things, still going back to every, you know, I have notes forever. And it's like, am I still committed to the decision that I made?
Yeah.
So
I really appreciate you sharing that. And I appreciate you saying that, expressing and explaining some of the process that we go through to get to know you. Like, we have the assessment, we have the private calls, we have just you showing up every week. A lot, I mean, it's every single week, right? So, and we're sharing deep stuff. We're going in, right? So I get to know each and every single one of you on an intimate level, those who allow themselves to be seen and heard. And I feel very connected to all of you. Like, I genuinely care so much about all of you and want to see you win and believe so much in you, because I fully believe that any woman who takes the time, one, just to go through our application process, then to show up, to invest in themselves, to show up to calls, like, I know that you want it. So if someone is like shrinking themselves or telling themselves some other stories, it's like, what are we here for? You know?
Yeah.
But I love that you pointed out that I get to know what you're like. I learn your patterns. I learn your history, you know, learn your insecurities, learn all of those things. And because of my experience just on the coaching side, like, I've seen this before. I know what this is. Like, you just ride with me and I can take you to the destination, but you have to be willing to get in the car. But it really does allow me to understand all of you on a personal level. And I think that that adds to the experience of coaching as well, because it's not just like a space where it's so many people and it's just ask a question, but I don't know how it applies to you. I can say, well, hold on, we had this conversation 3 weeks ago and when this came up, you know, so let's revisit that. So I love that you share that, because I do think that there's this personal connection. And then I think you guys also create a bond with each other through the calls and get to learn about each other, and you feel for each other as well. And that's such a great experience too. I don't want to hold you up too much. I know that we've been on here for a while and I feel like I could just talk to you forever. Cecily, you're such a great spirit and great energy. But I also want people to know, those who need a stylist, who need to level up when it comes to their mindset, to their self-worth, and to their personal image, I want them to also know how to reach out to you and how to find, if that's okay, if you want to share that. I don't know if you want to share that on here, but if it's something that you want to share.
Right now I'm on Instagram, is at the Cecily Mariah. Oh my God. And then my website, www.cecilymariah.com. I try to keep it simple.
And you're amazing. And you're doing so many amazing things with that. And I love seeing you work with your clients and just in your zone, and make sure that you ladies reach out to her. Is there anything else? Anything else you want to say before we wrap this up today?
Thank you so much for the work that you do. I call it soul work. Your soul work, your purpose work. And I'm going to cry when we get off this call, but you have your program changed my life. And I say that hands down, because it made me look at every area of my life. And so I know now when it's my turn to find commitment, the best of me gets to come out naturally.
I love that.
And I'm excited for that. I look forward to that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for betting on me, and thank you for betting on yourself. Truly appreciate any woman that takes the time to make the decision to join. It's a mutual relationship, and I'm just as appreciative and grateful for giving me the opportunity to be a part of your journey. So thank you, and I received that as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Before you go, Every week, Captivating Courtship opens 5 spots for relationship assessment calls. These are one-time 15-minute calls to get clear on where you are in your love life. And you can even fast-track your applications so we can chat right away. Claim your call today before spots are taken. Link is in the show notes. If you've enjoyed this episode, then make sure you share it with family, friends, or any of your peers who may benefit from listening to the Courtship Code podcast. I'll be back next week with more tips to help you level up your love life. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform. And until then, stay on code.